Chapter 17. The electric monk hardly knew what to believe anymore. He had been through a bewildering number of belief systems in the previous few hours, most of which had failed to provide him with the long-term spiritual solace that it was his bounden programming eternally to seek. He was fed up, frankly, and tired and dispirited. And furthermore, which caught him by surprise, he rather missed his horse. A dull and menial creature, to be sure, and, as such, hardly worthy of the preoccupation of one whose mind was destined forever to concern itself with higher things beyond the understanding of a simple horse. But, nevertheless, he missed it. He wanted to sit on it. He wanted to pat it. He wanted to feel that it didn't understand. He wondered where it was. He dangled his feet disconsolately from the branch of the tree in which he had spent the night. He had climbed it in pursuit of some wild, fantastic dream, and then had got stuck and had to stay there till morning. Even now, by daylight, he wasn't certain how he was going to get down. He came for a moment perilously close to believing that he could fly, but quick-thinking, error-checking protocol cut in and told him not to be so silly. It was a problem, though. Whatever burning fire of faith had borne him, inspired on wings of hope upwards through the branches of the tree in the magic hours of the night, had not also provided him with instructions on how to get back down again when, like altogether too many of those burning, fiery nighttime faiths, it had deserted him in the morning. And speaking, or rather thinking, of burning, fiery things, there had been a major burning, fiery thing a little distance from here in the early pre-dawn hours. It lay, he thought, in the direction from which he himself had come when he had been drawn by a deep spiritual compulsion towards this inconveniently high but otherwise embarrassingly ordinary tree. He had longed to go and worship at the fire, to pledge himself eternally to its holy glare, but while he had been struggling hopelessly to find a way downwards through the branches, fire engines had arrived and put the divine radiance out, and that had been another creed out of the window. The sun had been up for some hours now, and though he had occupied the time as best he could, believing in clouds, believing in twigs, believing in a peculiar form of flying beetle, he believed now that he was fed up, and was utterly convinced, furthermore, that he was getting hungry. He wished that he had taken the precaution of providing himself with some food from the dwelling place he had visited in the night, to which he had carried his sacred burden for entombment in the holy broom cupboard. But he had left in the grip of a white passion, believing that such mundane matters as food were of no consequence, that the tree would provide. Well, it had provided. It had provided twigs. Monks did not eat twigs. In fact, now he came to think of it, he felt a little uncomfortable about some of the things he had believed last night and had found some of the results a little confusing. He had been quite clearly instructed to shoot off, and had felt strangely compelled to obey, but perhaps he had made a mistake in acting so precipitately on an instruction given in a language he had learnt only 2 minutes before. Certainly, the reaction of the person he had shot off at had seemed a little extreme. In his own world, when people were shot at like that, they came back next week for another episode. But he didn't think this person would be doing that. A gust of wind blew through the tree, making it sway giddily. He climbed down a little way. The first part was reasonably easy, since the branches were all fairly close together. It was the last bit that appeared to be an insuperable obstacle, a sheer drop which would cause him severe internal damage or rupture, and might in turn cause him to start believing things that were seriously strange.